Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What did you choose as your initial Pokemon? Leaf, water, or fire? Really? For me, it was always fire.
No, it has to be water. But I just feel like it was, you know, Charmander got a lot of love. You know, the Charizard,
right?
Big, you know,
he was a big situation.
Dragon. It was, you know, it's very that.
But big orange dragon.
Well, listen, if they have a one-on-one scrap, who's coming out on top? Blastoise every time. Mm. It's fire. You know what I mean? Then you've got Bulbasaur just chilling in the corner. So one of them.
Yeah, but water does defeat fire, though. Mm. You're actually right when it comes to that. Squirtle was funny though. Mm. I used to love Misty and Brock.
Team Rocket for me, it was a guilty pleasure at the time because I was young. I felt like I couldn't enjoy it, but then, you know, I look back and I'm like, you know,
I don't know how this happened, but my cousin was playing and he beat Onyx as Metapod,
but only knows Harden.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know how he did
like
that.
Was it poison from the round before?
I don't know to this day I don't know how he did that, but he kept, that was the only move that Metapod has.
Harden.
I'm thinking, how the fuck are you beating Onyx in this whole? It just didn't make any sense to me. But I was just like, damn. But no, I used to love the original ones. Now it's gotten too complicated for me. Mm. Now I'm just too many names. And if you don't actually stay onto it,
yeah, you
can lose out quickly.
Yeah, you do.
But I genuinely used to like Onyx a lot as well. And also the legendary Pokemons.
Articuno, Zapdos, and
Articuno. Yeah. Not missing Artichoke.
I'm quick with it.
Not Artichoke. Articuno was my, and there was another one, Zap something.
Zapdos and Moltres.
Yes, I love how you know these names properly.
I'm on it.
I love it. Opening theme song.
Oh yeah.
I was listening to that.
I gotta be the very best
that
no one ever was.
Yes.
To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. Travel across the land.
Okay.
Searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon! Oh, it's you and me.
Damn, now you can sing. Isn't it like Pokemon, I gotta catch them all?
Yeah.
Oh my days. I was listening to it last week, just randomly. Guys, the Morale Morale podcast, we are back. We have a very special guest, somebody who was one of the few favorites when I was reviewing Love Island 2018. Guys, we have now Aslam in the building. Woo! How are you doing?
I'm thank you. Thank you for a round of applause. That was very gracious.
No, I loved the round of applause. That was nice.
I didn't expect that, but yeah.
No, I think it was good. How are you doing? How's life?
Life's good.
You look good.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Tats, the beard is bearding.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've got long hair. I'm getting it.
Yeah, you got long hair now.
Off soon, though.
Okay, when you didn't get it. I think both styles suit you, though, so it's fine.
I'm going for it.
You're going for a full-on buzz?
Buzz, blonde, sometimes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you're traveling as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's what it's all for.
I mean, we talk about Levi. I mean, I guess I don't want to, you know, mask over things and be like, what happened? Like, you know, I went to Levi and everything was great with what happened to me. So, I mean, I don't want to kind of portray a false image and, you know, because everything, you know, everyone wants an inspirational story when they come around to, like, you know, mental health and like mental illness.
Right, that's a good point.
Like, yeah,
everyone wants, like, you know, with the flag waving.
I was in the psych ward, and now I'm like Ronnie Coleman in his prime, and I'm gonna.
And it's not like that. It's a journey.
No, yeah. So
it's a journey, but I feel like whatever you want to ask, everything, just like as long as you're comfortable.
Oh no, 100%.
Anything you want to say, I just feel like I wanted to give.
I'm
you
in
a
strong enough place to like talk about things openly now. It took me a while. Because as I said, what happened to me on Love Island, sometimes people don't understand about psychosis.
Correct.
Things, it's a very severe like.
So this is the thing, because I want to, obviously, I don't know much about your story because I wanted to just ask you, so you can just tell me whatever the hell you want to tell me. But when you came onto the show, I was like, okay, Niall, like, you know, I feel like you were with Kendall, I believe, at one point, and then, like, you were chatting up with Georgia Steele, and there was, like, chemistry between you and Georgia and everything. But I did wonder, what is your background? Because your second name sounds quite Arab or Asian.
My second name's a Muslim name.
Nice.
My first name's Irish Catholic, Niall.
And your background is fully...
So on my dad's side, there's Indian.
Oh, nice.
And then my, like, Irish and Welsh on my mum's side. But the thing is, I never met my my Indian granddad. He sadly passed before I was born.
Same for me and my dad's.
And when it comes, in terms of, like, understanding my background, I kind of find it hard because... So my granddad was he was Hindu, and he has but my second name's Muslim, and something to do, like, the partitioning of India.
It's confusing.
Something happened along them lines.
Nah, too much.
So I just
but I did wonder when you first went.
I always get that. People always, like,
they
got it wrong. Like, I remember I've read articles about someone put about my ethnicity. Someone said it was wrong anyway.
Yeah, because we don't get many, like, half mixed race, like, brown guys going on the show, to be honest with you, or even brown girls. So I was like, oh, now us and them, like, I was looking forward to you on Love Island.
Yeah.
I remember being announced and whatever. And then, you know, after, like, your journey on the show was cut short, and I'm just quite unaware of everything.
Yeah.
So your story, like, I don't know. Okay. You might as well take a drink.
There's a lot of moving parts. There really is.
There's a lot of moving parts. Because I believe you were with Kendall initially before she got dumped.
And then not with Georgia.
Yeah, when you left. And then Kendall got dumped by Adam, sorry. But you were with Kendall first.
With her first.
With her first, and then you were with Georgia Steele. So before we even get into it, what are your thoughts on Adam coming back? And this whole... It must have spun you guys from your season.
This is the thing. I'm sure for a lot of people it would have spun them. But with what happened to me, and, like, going into, like, psychosis, and going into a psych war, and all of that, when people remember me as, like, you know, people, if you watch my season, they'll talk about, like, things like Rainbow Fish and Muggled Off and Abs McGee and these little weird things that I would say. And, like, Adam Collard.
Yes, Rainbow Fish.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember this. Damn, this came to my mind now.
Adam Collard, like, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
For me, personally, I don't want to sound like I'm, like, disregarding my Love Island experience, but for me, it's a very small part of what happened to me. Like, you just didn't see the rest, you know what I mean? So when people kind of, like, you know, when some guy that I called Abs McGee came on and said he was gonna take, like, my girl, I kind of looked back and oh, okay, like, it wasn't like a big thing for me. The other stuff was obviously a lot more of a life-changing, like, thing.
Yeah, because I'm just very unaware of it.
Yeah. So
the story is yours.
Oh, okay. So I'll just,
because you were in the show and then
So I was first boy on to the, you know, the thing, the first one out. And, you know, I feel like you went off to a good start from things I've heard.
Fantastic start.
I mean, that's my thing. I mean, at least people weren't saying bad things about me.
No, I think you have a good personality.
It was mainly...
You have charisma.
Yeah, like, it was more... and I was surprised at that, because I remember when I got on it, right, I remember thinking, like, you know, everyone's going to be, like, these big characters, right? So I remember going on that thinking, like, yeah, it's going to be crazy, right? I got on there, right, and I remember like talking to everyone. I was like, oh, I'm looking around, like, oh, it's me. I'm the one that's out there. I was like, oh, okay. It's me. I'm that one. So yeah, it was just, I got on there and it kind of, from the start, of course I was nervous and things like that, but not to the abnormal extent. I mean, I think if you went on that and you weren't nervous, you kind of, that's quite a psychopathic tendency. We weren't doing that. So I go on it and it's kind of all good at the start. I mean, the very, very start. I'm doing, like, day one that. And it was just started to be, like, things quite early on that just kind of, were just taking me back, because I'm being autistic, and the show knew I was autistic because they got on my medical records.
Medical records.
I've got the paper, yeah. They knew I was autistic. I'm a literal thinker. Like, I'm a very literal thinker, right? So I remember going to these auditions. How I originally got on Love Island was I applied for First Date, the Channel 4 show.
Interesting.
I was on Xbox with mate, and I was like, oh, let's apply to this. Get a call back. I'm in London. They're like, yeah, we love you. Really funny. This. Next thing, they're like, oh, the date didn't show. And then next thing, I got a call and they're like, oh, but Love Island, they, like, you should, like, we'll put you through to that. I was like, oh, okay. So I go in these auditions and thinking, I thought, you know, hundreds of thousands of people were doing this, right? So I just go on it and I was just talking how I do, right? And then these people were laughing at me, and I, like, well, with me, I guess. Next thing, you know, through and through. Next thing, I was, you know, the first one on. And I was just, all happened really fast. But the whole time in the process, they were like, "Niall, we love you. Be yourself. Like, be yourself. We just want you to be you." Like, they kept saying, "Like, we just want you to be you. Like, you're great. Just be yourself." Right? So I was like, "Oh, perfect. Be myself then." Like, I was like, "Great." Mm. So we got on there, right? And this whole like me and like I was with this, that Kendall. She's a nice girl. I'm not saying she was a nice girl. I'm not saying anything like bad about it. We could not have been further opposites in terms of like
personalities
on that show. Like, you really couldn't have been.
Yeah, I can see that.
It was like she was probably the quietest one there, and I'll probably say I would say I was the loudest, but from the time I was on it, and like there was loads of times where I was just like, cause she kept complaining about her ex. She kept crying about her ex
to you.
To me, to Adam, me and Adam, he was quite a quiet guy.
Right.
Which I don't think people, like, I know he's, he used to always get took off like production, then he'd come back and then he'd have a chat with someone. He'd be like, off, out, because they wanted him to be like, the villain. Do you know what I mean? That's what they've cast him for. I remember he was just a quiet guy. I was just like, you're right. And he wouldn't say that. Honestly, he wouldn't say that much. No, he's got portrayed to like be that. And I saw like people were like, you know, producers step in, stop Adam. I'm like, producers made like caused Adam to do the the stuff he was doing. I was like, so I was like, I with that Kendall, and I was like, it ain't really working. So I go, I'm not. Leave this off, but I didn't realize at the time. Obviously, back home, it was like me versus Adam. Like, this thing was going on. And I was like, nah, I'm sucking this off. I was like, me and Samira were talking, like a bit, like kind of, you know, going for chats and getting to know each other. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna chat to her instead. But then that didn't get shown, or whatever. But it was fine. It wasn't like a big thing, but I was like,
just a chat.
I kept saying to like production, I'm sacking this off. Like, we've got nothing in common. Like
you
like,
and Kendall.
Yeah, we were like, it was like more like
yeah. If you're just mates,
we're like mates. Yeah,
can't force it.
Do you know what I mean? It was just like yeah. And she said the same thing after. I know, so it was not like saying bad. That's what it was like. And then they were like, no, you can't. They literally said no, like you don't, you can't, you got to keep going. Please now. There was one scene where I was there in the beach hut thing, and I was like, they were like, say that you want to go and get your girl back. And I was like, nah, I don't want her. I don't want her. I'm fine. Like, nah, come on, no, please. Like, nah. So this was just frazzing in my head because I was like, okay, this environment isn't
healthy.
What I've been told. Like, if you told me being a literal thinker, being autistic, that's fine, right? Another thing that started to happen was I told them, like, before, and I've showed receipts of this as well, right? I can only eat plain food. And this might sound like a funny thing to people, like when I say I can only eat, like, chicken dippers. And waffles and very plain food. But being autistic, I struggle with textures.
Right.
Like just sauces and anything that's too like that, right? And all the food was like kind of like middle-aged party food. I couldn't eat it, right? So I was like, I need food I can't eat. And I told them, they're like, nah, don't worry, right? It took like 5 days for them to get me like a little bowl of nuggets. So I lost bare weight, right? I've lost a lot of weight.
Interesting.
So I've lost weight, and then the environment is just not what like I was told. Like, I'm doing what you wanted me to do. Like, I'm being myself. And that's all I know, right? If you told me, it was like the way I explain it is you know, I've been preparing to box Mike Tyson, but I've been thrown into WWE. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Now it's a whole different situation.
Yeah. So my brain's like, oh, okay, this is, and I'm not eating, right? And then I'll be asking for like time out just because it's like, it was overwhelming me. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna like listen to some like music. Anyone got any music? Like a lot of time out or something like that, right?
Just a chill.
Just because it was just not what they're telling me. I can't stalk someone, can't do that, can't listen. I'm like, listen, I'm doing what you said. So basically, they I used to go to the balcony a lot. I know this is one of the few things Arden just said when they came out talking about me, was that I think it was Rosie said it, that I segregated myself from the group. So I used to go on the balcony and to try and like calm myself down. So obviously I'm not eating, I'm not sleeping, the environment's not like what I thought. And do you know what I mean? I wasn't asking for like the world. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't saying can I have caviar and can I have a 5-star, you know, what's it, memory phone.
Exactly.
And a massage.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, can I have a little bit of time out? And you know, one time someone played me on their phone, what's it, what's that tune? On My Own by Les Miserables.
Oh, okay.
Banger, right? So they played me that one time on the phone, and then all the after meetings are like, yeah, we played your music. You played me one time like a tune on the phone, mate. Like they were acting like they gave me the world. So basically, I started trying to calm myself down by talking to myself, one of my coping mechanisms. So I'm on this balcony. Obviously, they can see this is going on. And I'm like talking to myself, like pacing.
Yeah, it's what you do.
Yeah,
it's what
pacing,
helps you.
Exactly. Yeah, trying to bring myself down, talk to myself, right? They've seen this. And what's happened was, this is kind of now where the story gets, it just gets absolutely mental. Like it really does. They go and they call me to the, what's it called? The hideaway. The hideaway, right? And there's a casting person there, the psychologist, and I think it was like one of the exec producers, mm-hmm. right? So I'm on this bed and they're like, Niall, you've been great. Like you've been amazing. And like all this stuff right there. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm looking around, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Right? And they were like, do you trust us, right? And I'm like, yeah. Before what happened, you had to. I was the most gullible, trusted person you've ever met in your life, right? So I'm like, yeah, I trust you. Yeah. Like, come with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like, come with us, right? I go, and they take me to this, like, it was like a 4x4, right? So they get in the back of this 4x4, right? And they start driving, and basically, you got to think, right? So I've gone from being the starter on Love Island to getting to an environment, not eating, having all this happen, not being anything that I thought it was being. Now I'm in a random car with a psychologist from Love Island, and these producers not having a fucking clue what's going on. So as I'm on this journey, I remember just my brain like just ticking. And it's hard to say pinpoint what point I went into psychosis, right?
Definitely, I agree.
It's very hard.
It is very hard.
And that's a lot to ask someone to do. When did you go into psychosis? Have I explained what psychosis is?
I don't think you have personally yourself, but you can if you wish.
Oh, okay. So psychosis.
Just to give people an idea, yeah.
So it's very hard. It's hard for me sometimes for people to understand like the severity of my situation, because like a lot of people don't really have some people have understandings around areas of mental health that are more commonly talked about, which I mean, I've suffered for myself, you know, anxiety and
exactly.
things like that. People understand
anxiety, depression.
Yeah, so people understand these. And I'm not saying like, I'm not comparing things, but there are some elements, you know, severe mental illness that don't get the you know, people
coverage
like people with BPD, you know, and
right. Yeah, that's actually a very good point, you know.
Schizophrenia as well. Like these areas that people don't really
understand,
aren't talked about. So when I go online and try and tell people like, oh, I had a psychotic episode, people are like, oh, you got stressed. Oh, and it's
such a different extreme.
It's such an extreme that I find it hard because people don't understand what goes with it, right? Because your brain hits a point where it shouldn't go, right? I had a stress-induced episode. It can happen from other things, right? But I had a stress-induced psychotic episode, and sometimes people think they don't know what psychosis is, but if you watch, like a lot of people do, like court TV, you'll see people plead insanity. And a lot of the time that will be because of like psychosis, you know, they
right.
claim they heard voices and things like that, and they did an absolute madness, right? I didn't do a madness, not in that way. But they'll get off, you know, with things like that's, and your brain just doesn't automatically after that go, oh, I'm fine. It is a long road to recover from, and I think it's an achievement in myself that I'm able to actually talk about it.
Huge achievement. Huge. Like,
I don't think people.
Massive achievement.
Fact, I can actually.
The fact that you're sitting here talking about
psychosis,
your journey, and everything through it is huge.
I don't think people actually realize.
People don't realize it. And I think that is something that I actually wanted to say to you at the end of this podcast as well, that like it's a major achievement that you're sitting here talking about this. Like the bravery, the courage, the strength to sit here and discuss your journey is effing amazing.
I appreciate it, honestly. I really
like, honestly, it's like you basically are a legend because of stuff like this.
I appreciate that.
You were able to go through that journey, and of course you're going to describe more of it, and you've come out and you can still discuss it and discuss what you went through.
Because I don't want...
It's a lot, man.
I don't want people as well that... Because I have a lot of people that follow me that are struggling with that I've had psychosis. I don't want people to look at my journey and think, you know, compare themselves to that because...
Right.
Because it... I'm not saying it's unreal, like... It took a lot for me to get to this point, right, where I can comfortably talk about like a severe part of mental illness and like, you know, because one of the first things a person will say to you when you had a psychotic episode is avoid your triggers. I've never been in a position where I can, because you know what I mean? You look at any little pop-up, there'd be a love line or thing. So I've had to learn to live with it. Do you know what I mean? I've never had the option to not avoid it. So that's why I go head in. I will talk about it. But it's a very extreme part of mental illness that... I'm lucky to be able to like talk about, and I'm proud of myself for getting to this point. So as I said, so that's for people that want to understand the psychosis, right? Now, I can't exactly pinpoint the moment I can, but I have a lot better insight. I have a very good insight for a person that's had a psychotic episode. A lot of people, like, it's just a blackout for some people, and some people it isn't, right? I don't know how to explain it, but I have like the clearest memory, but it's like a different person looking in, which is kind of a weird concept.
No, I get that.
Right, so I remember being in this car, and
drink away.
Sorry, I can talk for England.
Exactly.
So I was in this 4x4, and I remember thinking, like, what's going on? Like, I was, you know, because what got people to understand as well is because I was very popular when I was on the show, so you'll hear about people like, you know, like Georgia and things like that. But at the time when I was on it, she like came to me and people would come in. So it was like, I was thinking, what's going on? Everyone fancies me. I was like, well, I was confused. I was like, what's going on? So I remember thinking like in this 4x4, like, what is going on? And then my brain, I feel like at that point, hit a point where it shouldn't have hit because of the no food, the no sleep, the environment not being what it was like, not being supported. And I came to the conclusion, I must be like an all-powerful being. I was like, I am, this is what it is. That is why everyone was so funny. Everyone gravitated towards me. I'm like, they had to take me off because they've discovered that I'm like this powerful being, and I've got like these powers and like it's magical. And when I talk about psychosis, when you become clinically insane, you have no idea you're clinically insane. You feel so sane. It's unbelievable. Like I'm talking to you like about the way I explain it for some people. Like imagine right now you look at the sky and you think it, you see purple, and everyone tells you, no, that's blue. That, like, you're so utterly convinced. So I thought, I must be like an all-powerful being, right? So I remember, like, I got to this doctor's, and the doctor's is like, he's kind of gave me a check over. He's like, what's the problem? They just kind of talked a bit, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm the most intelligent person on the planet Earth. Like, I said to him dead straight, like, yeah, I thought they were there to test me. Like, Joe, do tests to me. I'm being like, I don't want tests, but maybe do tests. So I get there, I just explain that to him. The doc didn't really speak English. It was a language barrier. They then took me to the holding villa, right? And basically then, that's when they started giving me meds, right? And this is a fact, and I've got the paperwork for this, right? The person that started giving me meds wasn't someone that could prescribe meds. She had to call back to London to get me meds prescribed, and they put me on fucking Xanax. So I was on Xanax, I was on another mood stabilizer, olanzapine, aripiprazole. They gave me this stuff, right? So and that kind of sent my head a bit. And I remember thinking, I was just like running around like this, the other villa, just like literally all over the place. I remember like there was a security guard, there was some producers that would come see me. I was just in absolute fairyland because I was in psychosis. I remember one point I was in bed, right? And I struggled with sleeping when I was in psychosis. I got up, right? And I was like, I've realised what this is. I remember looking around, I'm like, this bed, it's small. I was like, that bed on the middle floor, that's not a size. No, it's a middle size, isn't that? That's the large bed. So I remember I'll go upstairs and the psychologist, she was sleeping. And I was like, wake up, wake up. She was like, what is it? What is it? And I was like, I know what's happening. I know it. She's like, no, what is it? I was like, it's the Three Little Bears house. I'm in the Three Little Bears house because mine's so small.
Right.
And that, but this is just right.
Mm.
So that's just for people that aware about psychosis. That's where your brain goes. So that's what.
Right. I think it's a very good description.
Yeah. So do you know what I mean?
For those
so,
who still may be confused about what it means.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so when I try and, it's an entertaining story, but I mean, because of this in a way, because it's so, it becomes so fairy tale and crazy based, but this is genuinely where my brain was. So I was like, you know, in the Little Bears house. And she was like, no, I'll go to sleep. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to sleep. And then I'll go to sleep, right? And then basically, obviously, they're fucking shitting themselves at this point. Absolutely. Looking back, I can see it. Like, at the time, I didn't. You mean the producer would be walking in? They were like, you're right now. You're right now. And I thought I was the greatest singer in the world at that point as well. That was one of the I had so many psychotic delusions. A lot of it's based on, it's not based on reality, but it's like what, like, because I thought I was amazing at everything. So I was like, I'd love to be the best singer in the world.
Yeah.
I am the best singer in the world.
Yeah,
like.
you link it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got a great voice.
No, I don't think I do.
The way you were singing that Pokemon song I was like, okay, no, like, I didn't even know you could sing that. I was like, okay.
But I remember, so I was like singing like all the time, like around. And to be fair, the one person that was good to me at the time, he wasn't involved with the show. It was like a close protection security guard.
Nice.
So he wasn't involved in the show, but he'd look after me. Well, he wouldn't look after me. I mean, he'd just sit there at night. And I mean, I'd just be telling him like these wild stories. I'm like, I get it now. I get it. I'm a me. I'm a powerful. But like, and I think looking back, and I spoke to him like since, he was quite emotional at the time. Like, if he's seen me go through that, do you know what I mean? It's not a nice thing to see happen to someone. It's not. I mean, I'm getting, so what happened, I'm getting a lot of comparisons I was getting because of what happened on Love Island like recently. And I'm not like, I hope that was it Jax? Was it? I hope he gets supported like fully and things like that. But they are different situations.
Hugely different.
Yeah.
I think people who compare that are very ignorant because they don't
know. And I don't want to be the one to say it because it's like, I don't want to be like, you know.
No, it's very different.
Like a top Trumps. Like, it's not that. No, it's kind of, for people that suffer with mental illness, if I don't say it's different,
yeah,
it's kind of diminishing to them as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
100%, especially because I have that mental health background as well. I graduated in neuroscience, so I already knew that this is a stark difference.
There's very.
People just don't, they just love to compare.
Yeah.
And we all do it, but I think that there's a huge difference between Jack situation.
That's what I mean. Mine was so ugly what happened that obviously it just was not had to leave for personal reasons.
So my question to you is, and there was also a doctor in the villa, Dr. Adams.
Yes.
So did he pick up on anything? Was any interactions or was it just like, no?
So Dr. Alex, if you remember when I was on it, we were closest to each other.
Right.
When we were on that, show. And I don't think he picked up. People knew I was struggling.
Right.
Like, I was segregating myself, like, from the group. But in terms of, like, people are like, oh, do you not talk to these people? You got to think, because I was part of the original cast.
Right. Exactly. You're an OG.
Yeah. I was part of the original cast. And, you know, I'm not like, I've still got a good follow. I've got a good follow. People still know who I am, like,
of
to an extent.
Yeah. Right?
And but then a lot of the people that I was with have gone on to do work with the show and things like that. Like, they work with ITV and things like that. So ever since, obviously, people will kind of like distance themselves from me. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a very selfish game, like, when it comes to them. That's just something I struggled with when I had to realize it. So people be like, oh, Niall, it's like, oh, okay, the autistic kid that got hospitalized. Let's just, yeah, you're right, man. You know what I mean? So I get support off a lot of people that I'd never met, like, on the show more. A lot of people that, so this is what, okay, so what happened to me was, I'd say on the show is probably the most extreme thing. I wouldn't say that's like a, I think if you, it's not, is that debatable though, in terms of what happened? On the show. But people, sometimes when it comes to Love Island, relevancy gets confused with mental health. And this is going to be a really weird concept for people to get around, right? Something can happen to someone, and let's say they were original cast or they got a big following, and everyone will like be up in arms, right? The amount of people from like Casa Amor, the people that you don't see, the people that had like 1 minute airtime, no one cares. Like no one really talks about that. No one talks about the people that went, told their parents, told they like, got all excited, then just left. Sometimes only become like concerned about ones. Relevancy, and it gets turned into a mental health thing. Like I'm fortunate in a little bit of a way that, do you know what I mean? I was part of the original cast, and people do still talk about my, and my story was so extreme that it kind of gathers attention. Do you know what I mean? But there's people on there that, do you know what I mean? They would have told their family, they would have told their friends, and they wouldn't have got any airtime at all. Then people don't talk about it. People's like, oh, whatever. But then when something happens to someone that let's say it's more relevant, you know what I mean? People will be pulling up, you know, photos of people and being like, let's remember this and remember this. Like, I'm just saying we got to remember everyone. Like, it's not, you can't just be like the relevant people. You got the amount of people on Love Island that people don't even remember and things like that.
A lot of people.
They're the people that support me, like off the time that will support me.
I'll come out
and say, like, do you know what I mean? The things that they might want to say, but for people find it sometimes probably hard because I get people trolling me about my experience, and my experience is extreme, like, and that's why I think a lot of people, I can do it, but if I was just there, like, yeah, you know, I just really struggled after Love Island. I didn't, like, none of, like, the psych ward, the psychosis, like, the autism stuff. If I was just like, yeah, I just really struggled. And I just kept talking about that. People would be like, why? Like, what do you mean? Do you know what I mean? Because I've got all this other stuff, I feel like it's kind of took more. There's so many other people that people just
forget.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I came off it, it's just everyone looks at people as numbers. Everyone looks at starts. Yeah, honestly,
it's scary, isn't it?
Look, it really, really, it's scary. I mean, honestly, I was recovering from my psychosis. But I just saw how people act. You might as well just, honestly, you might as well get, you know, you put your Instagram followers on and your followers on your T-shirt, and then let's see, and people will gauge it. Should I get a photo of a club with them? What are they on? What? 250, I'm on 320. Yeah, we'll do. Like, yeah, we'll do. What's she on, 50?
That's the hollow side of social media. I remember I went to a party in LA, and I'm not going to say the names. They were like, you know, quite famous people. My friends were like fashion designers and PR people. So, you know, I came as a plus one. And when I came to the plus one to this event, they obviously introduced me as like, this is our friend, a good friend of ours. And they just would like not even look at you because everything, especially in places like LA, but in general, everything is transactional.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't give me anything, you're worthless to me.
Yeah.
So the way I was not even looked at or acknowledged that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
you know, I'm a person, you brought me to this place. The hosts didn't even care. And it was a very small thing anyways. It wasn't like a huge party. Mm. And I was just like, damn, like I'm worthless to you because I don't have the metrics, the big followers in terms of like, oh, like a big Hollywood name. I'm not a big, huge artist. And therefore I am nothing.
Exactly.
But I only become something only if I can give you something.
That's it's what I'm scary. Saying. When it comes to Love Island.
And that's a similar shade. Yeah.
Even like Islanders, do you know what I mean? Will be guilty of this. And everyone involved around that will look at people and it will be very like, what's that? And then that's what I'm bringing it back to, like the people of the Casa Amor and these
right,
people.
Right, right. No, I see this health, point.
They just completely forgotten about.
Right.
And you know what I mean? I'm you know, I've had my story's so extreme, like with that. But like for people that have just, you know, pat their job in to get 10K followers. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it might, people be like, yeah, but you know what you expected and that, and this is this. Yeah, but they're still people.
Mm.
Like, everyone's still a person. You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, fair enough.
No, it's a lot. I feel like we all need to, including me, like you need to look at yourselves and how you can self-improve, especially when you talk about people, because everybody is a human being as well. So being self-accountable is also an important thing in terms of like how you become a better person when it comes to even talking about these reality TV shows.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is something that is crucial. So I think that point and that perspective is something we haven't had in a podcast before, and I think it's very interesting.
I appreciate
it. Damn, I feel like it's good. No, I feel like your story is very interesting, and I just wanted to give you that place to speak on it, because I had Sharif here like last week, and I was like, what the? Like sometimes I just be doing the dishes, or I'm just like, you know, I'm like, what happened to Sharif? Like I just don't know. And the same thing I think for you, and I know that you speak about it, and I've seen like stuff on your TikTok.
So I'll get tagged by in your stuff. Like people would tag me, and I got tagged. That's how I found out.
Right, and then you reached out to me. I was like, you know what? Now has a story to tell. Let's tell it, because like I feel like this is your place to do it. And I definitely, I mean, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
The psych ward is obviously a very interesting angle.
Exactly. So we're in the villa. I thought it was the best thing ever. I was on Xanax and some other medication. I've got them on my med sheet. I was going to show you after. Everything that was on, it was powerful stuff. You actually can't get Xanax in the UK on public health. You can only get it privately. So it's so strong, right? It was wild. But basically, they wanted to send me via a public plane whilst I was in psychosis to a psych ward in London. And my doctor, because they had an interaction between the doctors, he was like, no, you can't do that because he's psychotic. Everyone in the, like, I was like number one trending on Twitter at the time. Like, where's Niall? Do you know what I mean? I was favorite to win and I'm gone. And just no reason why. Like, there was no reason. It was just, no, I had to leave for personal reasons. But what they did, they said I had to leave for personal reasons. But quickly after, they changed it to medical reasons so the press couldn't actually snoop around what happened, because when it's medical reasons, you can't actually look. So they changed it. You can have a look at it, you can check it if you want. But yeah, they changed it from personal quickly to medical so then people can actually look at what happened. So I got flew by this. So they had to get a private jet. And I know when I say that, people are, oh, wow, lucky boy. I mean, it wasn't when a private jet from Spain to London is just a tiny plane.
Right. And like, it's a short flight.
It's just a tiny, it was like flown in a washing machine. Like, it was just a tiny plane with nothing in it, right? And I remember they handed me a burger. They handed me a burger, right? And it had like mayo and tomato, stuff that I can't eat because I'm autistic. Not because autistic people can't eat that. Me personally.
You personally, yeah.
Me personally being autistic, I was told about the food situation. I can't eat different textures. So they pass it me. And I remember just biting into it. I'm like, yeah, it's great. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, something. Like, they could tell, like, I'm really bad right now. So they fly me to this psych ward. And they didn't tell me where I was going or anything. No one at any point told me what was going on.
Hmm.
And I just go into the back door of this building. And then no one told me why. I didn't know to the psych ward till like later on. I was just like, they're like, you can't leave. And I was absolutely just like, what? I remember trying to boot this door down of the psych ward. And they were like, no, calm down, right? And so I tried to boot it down. And they were like, nah, there goes. Like, basically what happened was I never technically got sectioned. Because, so I kicked off, booted the door. This was when I first got there, right? And they go to me, look, Niall, if you stay here and are good, do you know what I mean? We're not gonna like do anything bad on you, and you're gonna be fine. And like, you know, dumbed it down. Do you know what I mean? And nothing will happen, nothing bad, right? So, but you have to stay here on your own, like thing. So, and I did. Like, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I was all over the place, but I wasn't actually. That was the only time I got aggressive, was when I didn't know where I was and locked in somewhere. I started booting a door down. I was actually very like placid and like trying to hug everyone, and I was singing everywhere. It was very, you know, fantastical and very that. So they just let me stay. So I remember being like in this you know, I mean, when it was, I mean, it was a decent place, like, but I remember just having the craziest thoughts, like, for ages, and just being in this psych ward, just in psychosis, or clinically insane, just being on all these meds, getting these side effects. I was pumped full of, like, you know, Xanax, another mood stabilizer. I was getting one thing that I never did interviews when I came out. And one thing I can tell you now for a fact, right, and I don't know for a fact, but I'll tell you for a fact, Kerry Katona interview that she did years ago, she was on bipolar meds. She was on antipsychotic meds, because that does, it does slur your speech. I had very slurred speech. I had mouth twitch. So, do you know what I mean? If I want to interview, and this isn't me making fun, this is what happened to me. I'd be like,
right.
I'd be like, I kept doing that. I couldn't speak. For like, I could speak, but I'd be like talking to you now, and then I'd randomly that going yeah. like that, right? So that happened to me when I was on all my meds. And then, but I remember thinking, so this is where it comes to me saying my original reason, which was because I was autistic, which looking back made no sense, by the way, absolutely. And everyone ate it up. No one even, like, it made no sense. And the real reason, so basically, right, I wasn't allowed my phone when I was psychotic, right? But I was allowed a pen and paper. I was trying to work out what's wrong with me. And the only logical thing that I could come to conclusion was, I was like, this must be my autism. I was like, it has to be something to do with that, right? So I was like, oh, this is what's giving me my powers.
Right.
So I writ down on this piece of paper, like, hi, everyone, the rainbow fish has shed its colours, and it's my autism, and I've accepted it, and this is what it is, and I feel so much better, and I'm amazing because I've finally learned, but it's my autism and this, right? And then I posted it, and everyone was like, oh, my God, this is so brave, and this is amazing, which I think it is for someone to do that, but, I mean, someone leaving because they had something they knew their whole life and they had to leave. I'm like, what? No one, everyone was like, yeah, oh, brilliant. I was like, oh, that made no sense. Do you know what I mean? No one questioned it. But then I just got better. Like, it took me a long time to recover. The first agent I ever signed with was because I thought he was the wizard from The Wizard of Oz.
Interesting.
I thought he was the wizard. I genuinely thought. And the show pushed me to him. Like, do you know what I mean? And I went there, right? So I thought, this guy was like, do you know what I mean? I'm already fucking psychotic as it is. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like thinking all these fairy tale stuff. And I've got this geezer telling me, you can achieve anything you want, you know, just with me. I'm like, oh, perfect. It's the wizard from The Wizard of Oz. I'll sign with him right now. So I signed with this guy. And that's just to show how long, do you know what I mean? That was after. Do you know what I mean? Because this might sound like a weird concept for people. Like, but once I kind of slightly recovered, I wasn't fully recovered. I became aware of how people wanted me to act, if that makes sense. I'll be like, oh, no, I'm fine. Like, you know what I mean? What do you mean? Like, yeah, I know that. And then I'll walk off like, they have no idea I'm a wizard. Do you know what I mean? They ain't got a fucking clue. So I was very unwell for like a long time. But then obviously once I posted that, so again, this isn't me saying like, oh, what ain't through is like so much. But obviously people just leaving the show in the normal senses is very hard. And people are aware of that. It's a hard thing to do, right? Having a psychotic episode and then having to do both at the same time whilst coming off all these meds and like your brain, like, because when you have a psychotic episode, the first thing you'll do is get back down to reality. Well, my reality had changed. What's reality for me anymore?
What is, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I had to deal with that all at the same time. And it was, honestly, I feel like I had to be insane to deal with it, if that makes sense. So you couldn't, I know I had to be insane for it to happen, but I had to be insane to go through that because it was just such like a mad time. And it just, like, what people don't realize as well, because your brain hits a point in a high phase when you hit psychosis that it shouldn't point, it then hits the lowest of the low that your brain, like, the serotonin is just gone. Like,
right.
It just goes. Right. Like, so I remember, like, I'd just be sitting, like, staring, like, just completely blank, nothing in my head, just depression, just immobilized, like, just wild, right? And then I'd get in, like, I had to come off Xanax. That in itself is not a nice, so I was on, like, 4 Xanax a day. That, and then having to come off that was wild. I was getting like these back sweats. I'd be shaking, right? And then I've got the receipts for this, and I've showed it on things. So I had a meeting with the show about what happened like 5 months later, and they told them that I've contemplated, you know, gonna say suicide.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it was like, oh okay, he's contemplating. This is written. This is me saying. I've got this written down. It was like, did the show not like because my parents had to help look after me for a little bit. Mm. But like then the note it says, does the show have any idea like how bad Niall's been like contemplated like with like suicide and like things like this? And basically, in the notes, all they did was like, we can't discuss Niall's medical care.
Mm.
That was it. Sorry, because basically it became an absolute, because they know someone's wrong here. And it's not me, because they started blaming the doctors. Mm. ITV like, this is the doctor's fault. And the doctor's like, this is ITV's fault. No one wanted to take blame.
Right.
That's why they've gone to such an extent to erase my memory of that show.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? You never hear, like, I was the only original Love Island, not at the reunion. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, okay.
They would go any lengths to like, that. So when I've talked about this a lot and people have seen the receipts and gone, okay, fine, yeah, we agree with you and like, that's fine. You can talk about that. Yeah, because I've said a lot of this stuff and they'll never say a peep because they know, you know what I mean? What can you say? It's factual events. Like, do you know what I mean? It's factual events. And they'll never say anything because they know how bad it is. Do you know what I mean? They've seen it. They're never going
to
be like...
Yeah, especially when it comes to contemplating taking your life as well.
You know, but I mean, like, it's when you're psychotic with all this going on. I'm having a psychotic episode. Now I'm just fucking a zombie.
Mm.
And then, do you know what I mean? And having to deal with the Love Island stuff. So I was just like, fuck this. I'm out. I was like, fuck me. This is bad. Like, this is what? And I got just absolutely outcasted by everyone. Like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Because everyone was just like, well, that's, do you know what I mean? This, do you know what I mean? Because everyone's be kind until something really fucked up happens. Do you know what
right.
I mean? Everyone, and it's frustrating for me. I don't even really say that anymore. I don't even say that. I'll be like, all right, do something. Forget, do you know what I mean? Like, do something. Be kind. Yeah, we'll go do something about it then, the show. Or do something about it. Someone, like.
Or like the people.
I'll make action. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I'll do action. I'm not going to tell people, like, wait, something bad happens, then be kind. I'm saying it before.
Mm.
I'll say it about things beforehand. I ain't on that. Like, everyone, it's just like, you know, oh, when something bad happens, then everyone, it become a bit of a trend sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, everyone be like, oh, what's the best inspirational fucking quote I can find that I can put on my page and things like that. I, do you know what I mean? I'm living it. I'm telling people beforehand and I'll get trolled about it. But it's one of them. I'm just glad that I've got the opportunity to talk about my story because being in this, it's rare to be able to talk so openly about psychosis.
Very rare.
In one, because I mean, it's such...
It is extremely rare.
Yeah, I don't think people...
People don't understand that.
Yeah, that's why, okay, one, people don't understand. Try to find a lot of other people talking openly on like social media about their psychotic episode. You won't find a lot of it. No. You will not find a lot. And when you see people doing it, it won't be like in a kind of... It would be more in a kind of like, it won't be, it's hard to explain, but it's just more, because I wanted, when I had it, I was looking for people. Mm. I was looking for people that have had psychosis and I was looking for like, where can I find, I couldn't find anything. The only thing that I could find was like one like documentary, some like 50-year-old talking about like his stay in like a psych ward one time. That's all I could find. So I try and go to the extra lengths to give people their actual insights of how, that's it. They'll talk about the effects. They won't talk about the insights of how the brain felt, like at the time, like the wizards and all this. And it sounds a wild thing, but yeah. So the show basically with me, they just want to erase pretty much the memory that I was ever on it. I mean, when there was like loads of media, it was last year when it was about the first disabled contestant. And
yeah, Hugo.
Yeah, so that was like, yeah, but Hugo came on because of what happened. Obviously, I can't watch it, right? But there was like a big media thing about Love Island having the first disabled contestant. And I'm like, am I tripping? I was like, autism, not a disability. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
I'm like, am I tripping right now? What is going on about? And it's on the news and that. And I had to re-educate myself about autism a lot.
People don't know about it.
So it isn't, a lot of people, so Asperger's isn't a diagnosis anymore.
Okay.
It's just straight, like, you're autistic because it can, like, minimise, like... And when I first came out, I said Asperger's, and that's what I was talking about. But then I learnt more, because obviously now I'm, like, representing people. Mm. Apparently, so if people, when you hear the word Asperger's, they think, like, oh, but that's fine, that's, like, he's, like, high-functioning, and I'm sure, but then that's the people get the perception, and they don't accommodate, like, what happened to me in Love Island. So it's like people say autistic is taken more seriously because it diminishes people's actual accommodation needs and needs, because if I tell you I've got I'm high functioning, I've got Asperger's and things like that, you might be like, oh okay, like you're okay then. Do you know what I mean? Oh, you ain't got the bad one. Do you know what I mean? But that it, you still need that support, like support needs to be in place. But yeah, the media ran with like this whole like first disabled contestant. And I went pretty viral around that time because when I say viral. It was getting millions. So yeah, I've got a skewed definition.
A million plus is viral.
Yeah. So I was getting like, so viral, right? So I was doing like videos about like, well, autism, disability and things like that. And then they never acknowledge it. But it's always like me. I always felt sometimes like, I'm going to have to step in here. No one's going to do it, are they? I was like, all right, cool. So I was like, no, autism is like a disability as well. Do you know what I mean? And I had to like go on the front foot. And I feel like constantly I'm having to go on the front foot and be like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And but I'm happy to do it, but it's just it's not like it takes its toll, but it's just like, you know, I'm kind of, I guess being autistic, I was kind of used to, I guess, well, me personally growing up kind of being very different to like a lot of people, so
right.
I guess it's nothing new, you know, go on Love Island and then what am I now? Oh yeah, I'm advocating for my psychosis. All right, cool, like, you know. Do you know what I mean? So I'm happy to do it, but it's just like it's just frustrating sometimes when you just see like
people that don't understand it.
People that don't understand it, because I think to understand my story, you have to have some basic knowledge around mental illness. And I say illness True. And mental health, that they are different things.
Very different.
People that I don't know what it is, but for some reason this generation is like, they think a lot of the time that they're the same. So this is what I explain to people, right? Everyone has mental health, and you need to look after your mental health. You need to go on these jogs and, you know, get the air and go yoga and things like that. But everyone has it, and you need to look after it so it doesn't deteriorate and eventually lead to a mental illness. But when you have a mental illness, things for people like you, if you're schizophrenic, you can't go and get some fresh air and that's going to cure your schizophrenia. It needs to be managed and controlled. So when I have like psychosis, you need to learn to manage it. It doesn't just go like, do you know what I mean? There's potential there, I could have another episode and things like that. But it's a different thing. Mental health and mental illness are different things. And for some reason, it sounds like a controversial thing to say, but no, that's just a factual.
It's very factual.
Yeah, it's just a factual.
They're very different things. Depression and anxiety is very different to like BPD.
Yeah, BPD, you know, BPD, you know, schizophrenia, like.
Like people say you're narcissistic, but somebody being narcissistic and somebody having a narcissistic personality disorder are two different very much. They're very things. People conflate them too. Yeah. It's like you just don't have the understanding of.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Stuff
so
like that.
It can be
quite frustrating. Especially when it comes to stuff like suicide, like that is a lot to do with. Like I know I have dealt with that.
Yeah.
A lot when it comes to, you know, attempting or just wanting to just end my life due to personal issues. And just to even talk about that is, especially as a man as well, like
it's
men
difficult.
It's a difficult, man. Men don't talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
I try to be transparent about when I can, but sometimes you just don't want to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I really want to talk about it? Like, how does it say my story? Yeah. Like, you don't know how to even like make.
It's hard.
It's hard.
When I first started. So when you see my video, if you follow my journey from the beginning, you're actually aware the way I kind of talk about my journey has really changed from the start.
Mm.
When my first ever video, I think got 70,000 views talking about it. And it was like.
On TikTok?
No, it was Instagram, right? And I did like a really serious.
Oh, 2018, yeah.
I did like a really serious video. And I was like, no, this was a bit later when I was like, hi guys. I was like, I was being really serious. I was like, this is like, I was in a psych ward.
Mm.
I was in this, and it was like a long thing. And then eventually people just kind of like, oh, okay, that's bad. I didn't really gather attention. And it was hard because I had to realize in myself, like if I want people to listen to my story, I need to be engaging with it as well. And because a lot of the times now, it's not just good enough to talk about. If you want people to listen, you have to be engaging.
You have to like.
Yeah. You have to kind of, it sound messed up, but I have to separate myself and be like, oh, okay, I'm trying to get this message out. How is the way I can get people to hear it? You know what I mean? So sometimes I feel like I'd rather cry and sit there and be depressed and sad and talk about it. But I'm like, people don't care. They'd rather see me being like, hi guys, welcome to Psych War Stories by Nana. Today we're going to talk about this and da 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 da. And people are like, oh, okay, I want to watch this. You know what I mean? Instead of flicking past. But if I'm there like, hi everyone, like this, people are like, fuck that. You know what I mean? But so I had to learn like in terms of that, my first viral one was like me making fun of myself. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Everyone wants a happy, upbeat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, it's something just, that would only happen to me when I love Iron, ending up psych ward.
Yeah, it's not like that.
Yeah, it's just quite.
But they want something that is easy for them to digest.
Everyone wants an inspirational, like.
And it's not everyday inspiration. That's not reality.
Yeah, I can't give people an inspirational story about mental illness and having a psychotic episode. I'll get people that be like, oh, do you regret going on the show? Like, what? Mate, I was literally hospitalized and I couldn't verbalize speech at one point. Like, how bad do you value clout? Like, what in your mindset do you value your actual health and things like that over clout? Like, you got hundreds of thousands of followers. Mate, like, yeah, okay, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the follower stuff is annoying because, like, when we're all in our graves, the followers are not going to be with us.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So
it's like, it's really not that serious.
It's just kind of hard sometimes because I feel like people do get my story confused sometimes. Like, Niall's spilling the tea.
This is not spilling tea.
This is not spilling tea. I'm really talking about
this is your story,
issue around mental illness. Yeah.
Exactly.
Love Island's a very small part of what happens.
Extremely small part.
Yeah, that's
extreme.
What I mean.
Yeah. That is probably one of the main important parts of the podcast. That Love Island is really just a minute.
Yeah.
Part of your process, your journey that is still going on.
The biggest accomplishment that I have is being able to talk about a full-blown psychotic episode openly and being able to do that healthily.
I think that's like amazing, man.
That is like a ridiculous, like, for me.
The strength.
And for other people that have had a psychotic episode or dealing with mental illness, like, I don't want people to, again, like, compare themselves and think like, oh, I need to get and be able to talk about it like this. Do it at your own time.
Do it at your own time, your own pace. Do whatever the hell you want to do.
Different goals.
That's all that to you, whatever you're comfortable with. Like, whatever. Yeah. Everyone's got their own rhythm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's different.
I'm completely comfortable now and I'm at a stage where I can and I can advocate for these things, which is something I'm personally proud of. But I just, I do it because, and sometimes I feel like I'm going on and on and it feels like I'm banging on like a brick door because people just don't have the understanding around mental illness these days. And, and this might be a weird something, when things like mental health awareness and things like that, sometimes people with severe mental illness kind of feel very left behind in these months.
Interesting.
And this is something I can correlate to, yeah. And other people that, you know, I know with like severe mental illness. It's, it's a very different concept, and sometimes you can feel kind of left behind because, it's different when people talk about sometimes, someone with bipolar, most people don't know, like, when it comes to different things, like, there's different types of bipolar. Like, most people don't know that, probably watching, is that bipolar 1, bipolar 2, cycling, same with a lot of different types of variations with mental illness. There's all different kinds, and these are things people aren't educated on. So,
at all.
Yeah, so when it comes to people talking about things like this, a lot of time people just kind of like, I ain't got a fucking clue what he's on about, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I try and make it as kind of, before it, anyway, I feel like I was slightly charismatic, and I could talk well, but I try and get people that usually wouldn't listen to the kind of this stuff and make it engaging.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. I try and do the way I talk about it. But yeah, the coming off the medication, that was awful. I just cold turkey.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That was just because I'd always get people coming up to me like, oh, you would have won. Like, you would have won, Niall.
Who cares about the show, man?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? They're like, you would have won.
And then what?
You should have stayed. I'm like, mate, I couldn't. Like, it wasn't down to me, like, what happened. Like,
that's, I mean, people don't even know what happened.
Exactly.
That's why they probably say this stuff to you. I have no idea.
In what I would have liked, and what I told them, when I still wasn't better, is, I would have liked, to stop it happening, right? This is what transparency. I would have liked transparency of what I was actually getting myself into. Food I could have ate, which I told them about beforehand, and a bit of quiet time. I'm not asking for,
a lot.
Caviar and a 40-hour masseuse with Beethoven playing whilst I get a scalp massage, right? That was all I wanted. So then after, it was the treatment that after that I just felt was, because it was very like, I was like, oh, how was your care? It's past that point. It's happened. Like, what do you like? Did they look after you? I'm hospitalized. I've never had a stress-induced episode in my life. People always trying to like gaslight me. It's like, you knew what you're getting yourself in for. One, how can I know myself what I'm getting for something I didn't know what I was doing? I didn't apply for the show and I just asked for accommodations and they couldn't give it.
Right, yeah. That's ridiculous for anybody to say.
I get it all the time, honestly.
That you knew what you were getting yourself into. Nobody knows, especially with having a stress-induced episode.
Yeah.
And they experience a psychosis.
Yeah.
And they've been admitted to a psychiatric hospital. Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this, again, it just echoes your previous sentiment that people just are not educated,
ignorant,
and they have no idea. And if they were in your shoes, they would obviously have a very different opinion.
That's why I always, when I talk about things, I always use the word mental illness. And I will try my best to do that because I want to make sure for people that
live, people don't see it, so they don't believe it.
When people live, I want for people that live with mental illness to know that's who I'm advocating for people that
absolutely
are lost behind.
Absolutely,
because I feel then people are lost behind a lot of the times when it comes to mental health awareness. I feel like, you know, I'm not comparing things. I'm not doing that, but this is who I'm advocating for. I try to advocate and bring in as much, like, you know, people, yeah, like with just different sides of mental illness, and that's what I'm passionate. Because I feel like, again, it becomes sometimes just like a Love Island, like Niall's telling the tea about what really happened.
No,
I'm not doing that. It's not that, like, and
it's just it's your story.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, especially for people who are mentally ill that may be even watching this.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, people like to see everything as inspirational.
Yeah.
Only happy, happy, happy.
It's hard.
It's hard to do that. But they will still look at you and be like, you know what, this guy's brave. He's talking about it. Maybe one day I can do it.
Exactly. And that's what I say. One day. And if you're watching this, and you've just had a psychotic episode and you're just recovering, my advice is know that it's your journey. Don't compare it to anyone else's, because it's a very individual thing, and don't put time pressure on it. And what I'd also say for people that haven't had a psychotic episode but are really struggling with stress and things like that, and you think maybe I'm going crazy and things like this, my advice would be you're not psychotic and crazy yet, because when you become crazy, like have a psychotic episode, you feel sane. So if you're in that situation where you're questioning your own sanity still, that's when you should seek help before it gets to the point where you become like psychotic or have a stress-induced psychotic episode. So my advice is, if you're asking yourself, am I going crazy? You're not, because you've got the insight to ask yourself,
right,
am I going crazy? When you're actually clinically insane, had psychosis, you ain't asking yourself. You think you're a wizard. Like people have had psychosis and thought they were Superman and jumped off buildings.
Right.
Like, that's the severity of what we're talking about.
Severity.
Here. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So that's what I'd like to tell people. One, to get that. Make sure if you're feeling delusional, and ask yourself, am I feeling delusional? Seek help before it gets to the point where you don't realize you are delusional.
Amazing. This is. I'm so glad that you came on.
Oh, thanks, mate.
I appreciate your presence, your courage, and your bravery.
Appreciate it.
As somebody who has had mental, you know, related issues myself. And I do think it's, people are going to watch this and be like, you know what, I'm going through something in proximity of a mental illness. And they'll be like, you know, maybe one day I can speak about it and have my own time as well. And I think that you had an important journey. And I just think that it shouldn't be overlooked. People should listen to you, engage to you, and you deserve to have your story heard.
That, yeah.
Because I feel like a lot, this is what I don't like, is when people get overlooked in any regard, whether it be a TV show, whether it be people, whether it be, I don't know, whoever. And they're just like, oh, let's just push this person away and pretend they don't exist.
That's how I felt a lot.
Right, exactly. And I just feel like, I hate that personally when somebody doesn't get acknowledged.
Yeah.
When, as if their presence, as if they weren't there.
With me, it was like kind of one step, but they'd try to actively act like it didn't happen.
This is the thing. Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, we're not, people are not dumb. They, like, especially if somebody has a story to tell and they're going to speak out and, you know, in their own time. Mm. And I feel like they deserve to get the story heard. And this is what I wanted you to do. And I feel like, as you said, this is for those who are mentally ill that feel like they're being left behind.
Yeah.
Ignored, you know, put away and, you know, emphasizes to be something that they're not, ignored. And I think that, you know, they need a lot of support and you know, attention, acknowledgement to hear their stories heard. 100%. And I feel like that's definitely one thing that's going to hit them in a very good way. So thanks so much for even coming on.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Like, no worries. Like, I feel like it's just amazing. I feel like you look good as well. I'm loving this Pokemon show. You know, I'm a big Pokemon fan. Yeah. And that's what I was like, no. And I did want, you know, see you on the show. And I did obviously think that you were great vibes.
Appreciate.
And then, of course, after, and I just feel like you're going through a process. And I thought, whenever you're ready and 3-4 years afterwards, you know, you're here. And I feel like you've overcome a lot. And to speak on it is brave, man.
Appreciate that, honestly.
Absolutely brave, bro. Absolutely brave, bro. No worries. Niall, thanks for gracing me with your presence. A legend sitting on this couch. The Murad Murali podcast, guys. Thank you so much.
Follow me on TikTok.
Follow him on his TikTok details. Do you have any other socials?
I've got a YouTube. I've got like 2 videos, but I'm gonna start posting on YouTube.
Start posting. Okay, TikTok, YouTube.
Yeah.
Is everything gonna be in the bio below? If you wanna check out Niall, check out his TikToks.
Mental health content.
Mental health content as well. And just Pokemon mental content, maybe. Yeah. I feel like you should go into like gaming.
Twitch.
Okay, yeah, Twitch. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's Twitch as well. All be in the bio below, so you guys can check that out and follow him if you guys want to follow him and just like watch his content, because I feel like he's putting out some good stuff. So thank you, Niall, and we'll catch you guys soon, man.
Appreciate it.
Sweet, bro. That was good, bro.
Cheers, man.
No worries, man. That was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, honestly. Okay. Like, I just feel like when you reached out to me, I was like, this is good. Like, we'll do it whenever you're ready.